go ahead and call the Wilmer Utility Commission meeting to order here, 11:45 on Monday. Does anybody have any changes or additions to the agenda at all? All right, if none, I look for a resolution for approval of the consent agenda. Includes the minutes from our last meeting and the payment of bills in the total of about $1.8 million. One thing to point out, if we take a look at page 5 on the bill payments, there's an item for Bolton and Mink for the Priam wetland permitting. That includes some fees from Bolton and Mink as well as the credits for the wetlands that we had to purchase there as well. So other than that, are there any other questions on payments for bills at all? If not, I'd look for a resolution for approval.
I'll introduce that resolution.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second. Any further discussion? Beth, if you could do roll.
Certainly. Commissioner Mattern?
Aye.
Mabul?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you. Next, we have our financial audit report. And with us today, we have Mr. Ogdahl from CDS.
Back.
Go ahead and have the floor.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you very much for letting us work with you again. The audit went really well this year, once again. So, here's what we're going to talk about today, a little bit about the auditor's opinion, a little bit about the combined financial position, and then we have some divisional stuff, and then we got the combined at the end. So, first thing we'll talk about, the auditor's report. This is exactly the same as it was last year. I just want to highlight a few things just to remind you what's all in there. First of all, financial statements are the responsibility of commission's management. Our job is to express an opinion based on our audit. It talks about the rules we follow and generally accepted auditing standards and government auditing standards. And then it brings in the concept of materiality, because we don't test every transaction. We need to be reasonable assurance financial statements are free of material misstatement. And then probably the best thing we're going to hear today is financial statements are presented fairly in our opinion, so that is a clean, unmodified audit opinion, as good as you can get. Then the rest of the audit report covers, there are some required supplementary information, the management's discussion and analysis is a good summary of what happened throughout the year. That's in the full audit report. And then a couple of schedules relating to pensions and OPEBs. And then in the back of the audit, we've got some, the divisional information is supplementary information, and that is fairly stated in relation to the statements as a whole. Okay, and jump in with questions or comments as we go along here. Okay. Next, we'll have kind of the statements in that position or the balance sheets. You can see total assets did go up about $4 million. Some pieces of that, cash is up about $6 million. So that's kind of a good thing to see. Reason for that, you had about a $5.4 million recovery or net income for the year, and also the receivables did go down a little bit, so you collected some of those receivables that were outstanding last year. The middle section there, restricted cash and investments, that has to do with a bond sinking fund, a bond reserve, and then the customer deposit accounts. They are required to be set aside and have a specific purpose to be spent on. The fixed assets, you can see we went from 32.8 to 32.8. So we had very little change there, but it doesn't mean you didn't have some things going on. So we had about $2 million in new projects that happened in 17. You had about 500,000 or so water meters you bought, but then we had about $2 million of depreciation, so what we added kind of went away, and then you did end up writing off some assets that were still on the depreciation schedule, but weren't either in use or still around anymore, so we just had a cleanup of the depreciation schedule. And then the bottom line here, deferred outflows of resources, just make a note of that, that did decrease this year. I'll talk about that on the next slide here. Liabilities, you can see that current liabilities just had about a $200,000 increase there. Most of that was in the accounts payable. Non-current liabilities, in the middle here, we have the bonds, basically paid down, $550,000 is scheduled. And then as we look at the pension liability, you can see a significant decrease there. The deferred inflows of resources went up a little bit, and then remember that deferred outflows from the previous page. When we net all that stuff together, it was about $170,000 additional expense this year. That was your para OPE, or pension liability cost for the year, is about $170,000. One thing to note there too, the state did put in about $6 million to help fund some of that deficit, and your share of that was about just under $50,000 that went credited to your liability. So, okay, as we get down to the bottom there in that position, investment in capital assets, little increase there. Basically, we paid down the debt, so that was the main reason that that went up a little bit. The restricted is really just a function of what the cash numbers were on the previous page, and then the unrestricted is kind of where everything else falls. So. Okay, as we look at these, you can see the change in the blue part, invested in capital assets, you can see it actually went down. I just told you it didn't change much, but because you had a good recovery for the year, the pieces changed a little bit just based on the math. So where did that go? Well, basically flip-flop with the unrestricted piece there in the green. Okay. Here we have some budget and actual numbers, and then kind of compared 16 a little bit again. The variance of $665,000 there compared to budget and actual. The electric was under a little bit, but it was still up $1.4 million from last year. So you had an increase there, it just didn't quite hit the budget that you had. As we go down to the change in over under budget on the total expenses, you can see that you were 2.9 under budget on costs. So you did a really good job of watching costs and you know, whether that's deferring some projects to future years and certain other things, but you just did a really good job of watching costs. And then also we were down just under $500,000 compared to last year. So it wasn't just did a good job watching budget, you did a good job compared to the prior year. Okay. And then here we have, you can see there's this $326,000. That's the effect of cleaning up those fixed assets off the depreciation schedule. There's a little bit of book value left in those, some of them. Okay, some divisional information here. Electric, you can see the produced went down, the sales went up, so we got more efficient. So that's a good trend to see. And here we have the revenue and the cost of power. Revenue's up a little bit, cost of power actually went down. So you're doing a good job of finding sources of power, having the right mix, and you have a lot of different ways to get your power in here, whether it's purchased or manufactured in-house. But so that's a good trend to see also. And then here we have the net income for the past several years, and you can see it's up about $1.1 million compared to last year on the net recovery. Okay. Here's the water. And basically these have been pretty steady over the years. We did, again, had to produce a little bit less to sell a little bit more. So again, it got a little more efficient here, but they stay pretty consistent year to year. You can see the revenue dropped a little bit. The cost did go up a little bit here, but again, pretty consistent, not a lot of change between the years. And here we have the net income for the water. You can see we did go up about $300,000. Other revenues increased in there, and then operating expenses were down, so that's the reason we're up a little bit. Even though the cost of production was up a little, the other areas made up for it. Okay, and then heating. This one went kind of the other way on efficiency. It got a little bit worse. There was a little increase in the pounds sold, but we had to produce more to get those pounds sold. And here the revenue, pretty flat, pretty consistent, but the costs keep going down in there. You guys are well aware of what's going on with the heating, so not much to talk about there. Here you can see this net income in the heating has bounced around a little bit, depending on a lot of different things, but here we did actually have an increase over last year again of about $180,000. Any questions on numbers?
Darren, could you talk a little bit more on the water side, knowing that our revenue was down slightly, our costs were up slightly, yet our net income still turned out to be up another 300 and some thousand over last year?
Yep.
Was that primarily due to some reduction in capital costs, and maybe Ms. Runge could address some of that as well, or?
Go ahead, Denise, if you have some.
Big piece of that, we've talked about it a couple of times. As of January 1st of last year, we started allocating our G&A expenses specifically to what they were for, which includes like employee health insurance.
Right.
Prior to that, there was always just a flat 45% of those costs added over to water every year, and so probably a good $150,000-$200,000 of that difference was from that G&A allocation.
Okay, thank you.
Right. The compliance part of it, a couple different areas we've got to look at. Minnesota legal compliance, we had no issues there, so that's very good news. We look at six or seven categories of compliance items that the state wants us to look at there and have no issues. Government auditing standards, compliance there, we have our same two findings there, material weaknesses, lack of segregation of duties, and auditor prepared financial statements. These are very common, again, for all the clients we live and work with and governments around this area of the state. It doesn't make sense to put enough staff in place to get rid of that segregation of duties comment. It's just not beneficial. Also, it's probably just more efficient to have us prepare the statements than tie up Denise's time for, you know, a week is probably about how long it would take to, you know, at least work on the financials and make sure all the note disclosures are accurate and correct. And then also as part of the government audit standards, we look at other compliance items, bond covenants, whatever else may come up, making payroll taxes, being current with all that stuff, and we did find no instances of non-compliance there. Okay, the required communications. Mostly the same. One item we'll have to talk about here compared to last year, but accounting practices, no change in accounting practices. We still have depreciation, the pension liability, and then the coal pile as kind of the biggest estimates that are worked throughout the statements. Difficulties encountered, we had none of those as we worked on the audit. Corrected and uncorrected misstatements. There were no significant audit adjustments, but we did find, and you'll see on note 15 of the audit, prior period correction in there for the accrued interest receivable on the investments was double booked in prior years, and so we had to get that down. The reconciliation of that, the revenue side of the investment balances and the interest income did not get done. It was just kind of make the investment side work, but not necessarily tie up the income side of it. So that's a cumulative effect of a couple of years, right, Denise? 2 years, we kind of said? Yeah. So was just how the reconciliation was done basically in 15. So we did catch that, or Denise caught that, and got that corrected. It was about $224,000 correction. Okay, disagreements with management, we had none. Management representations, I've received a letter saying you provided us with all the information we've asked for, and we aren't missing anything. consultations with other accountants or CPA firms. I'm not aware of any of those conversations. And then other findings or issues kind of deals with the supplementary information in the back of the audit after the notes, the divisional stuff, and basically that information is prepared on the same basis of accounting as the basic financial statements. So those are all good comments. And a good comment that you did find that the interest was off for those prior years. So we got that fixed and where it needs to be. All right. Any questions on compliance items? Okay. So basically, then, you know, to kind of sum it all up, you had a very nice financial year. 16 was a good year, and 17 was better than that by $1.4 million on the net increase. But you know, that's why do we need all that? Well, you need all that. You got a lot of big projects coming up, and it's always good to have that pre-funded as much as you can instead of waiting until it has to happen, and then you got to catch up and you know, fight the bonds. And you know, this way you can save a little money on interest when the projects come into play. And so it's good that you're building up a little bit of reserve here to kind of stay ahead of those big projects. Okay. I want to thank Denise and John and Kevin even here helped with the audit a little bit, counting inventory and with a few other things. So everybody was very helpful. It went really, really well. And your financial records are in very good hands and in very good shape here.
Thank you, Darren. It sounds like an awesome report. That's exciting to hear. Now that we're kind of in a couple years into, I think, our new system and all that, it sounds like that's going very well and we're getting caught up. And
yep.
And that's hopefully helpful in making things easier for you as well.
Yes, so. Yep, absolutely. And it, you know, it was a little tough there with the switch going on, but mm-hmm. Denise has really grabbed a hold of it and gets through it pretty well. So.
Thank you. Well, kudos to Denise on that as well, so thank you. Very good. Thank you. Appreciate it, Darren.
Yep.
All right, before he leaves, any final questions? Everybody's good on the report there? All right, excellent. We'll move on to the next item. Review and approve the updated WMU investment policy. Director of Finance, Runge, please.
Thank you.
Excuse me.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. I'm sorry, we'll need a motion for approval on the report as presented.
Motion to approve.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? And that passes. Thank you. All right. We'll go ahead on the investment policy.
Thank you. The only change on here is if you scroll down to page 4, it's highlighted in red, section 8.5. Last fall when we updated this policy, 8.5 was listed as any security which is a general obligation of the state of Minnesota or any of its municipalities. Working with our investment firms at this point, they are indicating that the market in Minnesota is getting kind of tight for state of Minnesota municipalities, specifically bonds, and so they asked if we would open that up to any state, basically, in the United States. Minnesota statutes does allow that, and so that's why we have just updated that 8.5 to say any security which is a general obligation or revenue obligation of any state or local government allowed under Minnesota statute section 118A.04. So we are just looking for approval to change that within our policies to allow some more investment opportunities for our funds.
I presume this has been properly vetted and looked at as necessary. Okay.
Yep.
With that, I would offer this as a resolution for approval of the policy as presented.
Second.
We have a second. Any discussion?
Just a question on that. Does that change any of the risk factor of those investments?
It does not. They would still look at it the same way, which is give them a larger pool from which to pull from. Rather than just state of Minnesota, they could look at other states as well.
Any other questions? Okay, Beth, if you could do roll call.
Commissioner Mabul?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
Modern?
Aye.
Thank you.
That passes. Thank you. All right, moving on. We're looking for our SWAT update. Mr. Marty and Ms. Marotsky, please.
Thank you.
Yes.
Commissioner Mattern. So this month, we've got the financial policies and the facility SWOT topics. So looking through both of them, there isn't a whole lot of activity in either one of these. That's why they're both lumped together in one month. Most of the items, looking first at the financial policies and the weaknesses, are ongoing items that are being worked on. Some of these things that are in this actually coincide with the conversation that Darren just had with our review, and Denise mentioned about like the itemizing bill payments to the right accounts and those sorts of things. Those are some of the things that have been worked on within here. Same with opportunities. Most of those are completed. We did have one opportunity presented to us through MMUA that we did not pursue. And then the threats, once again, there's one item in there that is ongoing. Anybody has any questions on the financial policies, SWOT topics? Answer those.
Doesn't look like it.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. The facility. There's most of the completion targets in this section are out quite a bit, just because of what our plan was for the proposed building. So there isn't a whole lot of activity in here either, other than current facilities. We have been doing some work down in the storage room, reorganizing that and labeling, and we're going to take another peek at computerizing our inventory. That's changed a little bit from where we were talking about barcoding here a year or two ago, and most things have been moved to an application on your phone rather than barcode scanners. It's brought the price down considerably on those, so we might be picking that discussion up again. But otherwise, like I said, mentioned, most of these things are set with completion targets out in 2020. Once again, I could answer any questions that anybody has on the facility if you'd like.
Kevin, regarding inventory then, everything's just on paper now? Is that what we're still doing?
We use the NISC system to control it, charge it out, receive it, order it, all of that. There is a little bit of cumbersomeness as far as when the guys will actually take materials out. They will handwrite those, and then one of us will take that form and then charge it out to the appropriate department. With going with an automated system similar to like barcoding or using electronics to do that, they would actually just scan the part. They could enter in which job it's going to, and that would come electronically to myself or Matt.
Sure.
And then we would say, yep, that looks good. We would just swipe it in, and it would save us some manpower that way, and as we look at being more efficient. So a couple of years ago, we looked at this system, and I think we had budgeted like $40,000 or $50,000 for it, and that's no longer. I'm glad we didn't spend it, because those costs have come down considerably. That $25,000-$30,000 investment into hardware is no longer needed. So you can do it with an iPad or a phone.
Technology continues to change, doesn't it?
Yes. So.
Any other questions on that item at all? All right, we're looking good. Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
With that, we are on to item number 6 already. Discuss the proposed future facilities option. I will turn that over to our general manager, Mr. Herring.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. A little background before I turn it over to Kevin to provide some building background information. City Council continues to discuss the building location, as well as what building should be part of their discussion. With that said, they are asking for a joint meeting of the Commission and the City Council, which Beth will be pushing out calendar invite with a number of dates and times to select from to set that meeting up to the commission as well as to the city council. And what the city council is requesting is that we share with them our vision for our facility to see if there's merit in, different ideas, whether it be a campus-style building or, you know, whether they stay downtown, and I'm not sure of all the details. They have not shared that with the utility yet. However, they do want to entertain that discussion as part of their decision-making process. So with that, I'll turn it over to Kevin to kind of provide some of the history and our present position of the commission that staff has been carrying forward. So thank you.
Thank you, John. Hello again. The information that is in your packet, the bulk of that information is basically information that we shared with the city here approximately a month ago, and also with the commission on the February 26th commission meeting. We wanted to kind of review this and hit a few highlights of that and make sure that this is the information that we intend to move forward with any upcoming joint meeting, as John mentioned. So some of the things, obviously won't read through this entire document, it's fairly lengthy. A couple of the things though that do I feel merit visiting about, as we talked about the two studies that we did, the 2010, the original study, and the 2016 update. In 2010, we talked about a couple of different options, one being staying close to home, and we've kind of talked about that recently, excluding that. And then they also identified at that time a new site and needing approximately 8 acres of land with access to for large trucks and those sorts of things. We have talked in the past after the 2016 study that we wanted to remain focused on an 8 to 10 acre site. A reminder too, the 16 study also included a travel efficiency study. We have currently operate in 2016 costs with about $21,500 inefficiency cost, with staff being separated in different buildings. When we remember when we looked at some different scenarios with having where office staff could be located and then a couple different distances out where operational staff would be located, those inefficiency costs would go up proportionally with the distance. Moving on to the next page, we did have some meetings back in the summer and fall of 2016 with the city administrator at that time and some city staff. Talked about possibly looking at joint facility at that time. Questions that we had was the possibility of the city offices or city willing to vacate downtown Wilmer. Our needs being an industrial enterprise and needing 8 to 10 acres of land. We kicked around, if I remember right, looking at different properties that would possibly be suitable for like a campus concept where both the city offices and utilities and community center, whatever else that they had identified they wanted, would be on that one location. At that time, the city had very little appetite for moving its offices out of downtown, so we kind of ended that conversation as going our separate ways again, and that was, like I mentioned, a couple years ago, just about 2 years ago. So kind of in conclusion, the three main points out of all this information is that the utilities remains an industrial enterprise and requires space to operate. We've identified 8 to 10 acres. And we don't feel that we should be consuming prime real estate that's better suited for other development and tax dollars. From an efficiency and operational standpoint, we believe that one facility encompassing all the departments and employees is warranted. And you as a commission have prioritized our current and future capital expenditures. And the building remains low on the priority list as we work through, you know, the substations, the water plants, the power supply, those kind of things. So, and that kind of has pushed our target out from the original 2020, probably out to the 3 to 5 year point as we work through those projects. Kind of a couple notes about the separation. You know, it was just about 130 years ago that the council established the commission, utility commission, to represent the interest of the ratepayers. And we feel that this concept is still applicable today. And in the past, the commission supported constructing our facilities on a common piece of property alongside the city. Basically, what we're wondering is if the commission still supports that concept. And that concept, I guess, would maintain the intent of having the facilities, you know, city utilities in like proximity, I guess, on one piece of property, but then still allowing us the separation that was designed into why we were separated originally and how we operate. So that was kind of what we wanted to leave with, I guess, as we move forward to a joint meeting with the city and have those discussions again, is if that's the path that we should be on. The last piece of info in there is a map of, as the city went through their possible locations for properties, one of the and then we've discussed with city staff since then, just in an informal meeting, a couple of those properties and how they're looking at, I guess we're looking at properties that we could potentially both fit on. The only property that they showed that would possibly contain a campus concept would be this East Highway 12 property. It's directly across from the convention, the hotel up there next to the Economic Development Commission. That property is totaling just under 13 acres, so it is a little bit tight. As far as we look at a campus concept, if the city wanted the offices, community center, and the utilities on, it would be it would certainly be challenging. It'd be a great property for us, and we've been approached about that property. But interestingly enough, as I looked at it, there's actually three different property owners in there, so we wanted to pursue that down the road. That would be something to work through. So, Burlington Northern owns most of the frontage of that property, and then the Elks Lodge owns a small piece that I would assume came with the building, and the rest of the property is owned by the property owner.
I think also, Kevin, when the city indicated that this might be a potential site for a campus setting for multiple city facilities, they were under the assumption that there was more acreage there than what actually is there when we looked into it.
Yeah, I think they kicked around close to 20 acres, and that is not without kicking a few more people out of there. We're not going to get 20 acres out of that property.
Depending on, and maybe Councilor Muskie can answer this, but depending on what the city is all looking at for facilities in a campus setting, 20 acres is probably a reasonable acreage size that's going to be needed for, you know, 3-4 different facilities, because we're consuming, our needs have been identified at 10-12 acres, as Kevin indicated in the presentation, just for WMU facilities.
We did discuss a little bit and look too, is, you know, just the conversations that we had with the city about, you know, when we talked to them a couple of years ago, we were thinking we were a little bit closer to doing something with the building, and they were the opposite spectrum of that, and now things have kind of completely done a 180. We're in the reprioritized, I guess, are looking a little further out, and they seem to want to go very quickly. So as we look at that, I guess, you know, that campus concept really plays into that real well if both entities are not able to build at the same time, that you could, if a suitable property was found to do something, they could certainly go ahead and do a portion of theirs, and we would join in later, or however that worked out, so.
You know, I think this is fairly fluid yet, too, and potentially the city's timeline could be changing as well, and I think as we see some of those dynamics back and forth, I think there's a lot of what-ifs yet. General Manager Heron, you had another comment?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Manor. I was just going to state that, you know, in the end, not knowing where discussion is going to go or how the project's going to proceed forward, but if a campus concept would surface to the top, you know, as an idea or an approach to moving forward on that concept, we could always purchase our share of the property and sit on it until we're ready to move forward, because strategically, as Kevin indicated, you know, we're three, four years out yet, and that has to do basically financially is why we're out, in addition to all the other large projects that we have going. But that would be a concept, if that were the commission's wishes to, and the community's wishes, that we have a campus concept, we could secure the property we need alongside of the city's property that they were to purchase.
I think it's good that we as a commission have an understanding of where we've come from and kind of some of the studies that have been done and the discussion that we've had and planning and within the full commission as well. I think that will lead well, hopefully, into this joint discussion, which I think is going to be valuable with the city council. Depending on what they're looking at doing, I think there are a lot of ifs in this whole scenario. If they do plan to stay downtown, that probably closes the discussion, to be honest with you. But if they're open to something like a campus idea, my understanding is that they're potentially open to other properties as well. I think there was Councilor Meske, about a half a dozen or so that you looked at, and possibility for more to come.
Yes.
So, do you want to speak to that a little further?
Sure. Yeah, that's not a problem. I have my own opinion, but I will give you the opinion of the council. I would highly recommend when you go to the meeting that you have your criteria that you have determined here and that you stick to those criteria. I think we need to have a very clear and frank discussion about where we want to go as both entities, and if because there are criteria that the city has established as well, and those criteria can mesh together in some kind of a process, that would be great. But I was hoping that, and I expressed at the meeting, that we can get this stuff beforehand. I mean, I see it, but make sure the council gets the beforehand, and that also make sure the commission here gets the beforehand from the city's point of view, because there are certain pieces that just on the surface may look highly incompatible, and if you can find some common ground, and I think that's what the meeting is to see, is there any, and if there is not, that's okay, and if there is, that's okay, but I think we really need to be very candid with the plans that each entity has, and if they do work, great, and if they don't, we need to know that, because as you've stated, we've recycled this within the last couple years multiple times, and so I think I'm hoping that we get a meeting where we actually let the rubber hit the road and figure out where these entities are going and let them go.
You know, I feel that there is a lot of room for potential synergies, and that's what we have to figure out if that truly does exist. I think we owe it to the community. We have the responsibility to do that. Whether there's certain elements of a shared room like this for the council to meet and the commission to meet and things like that, where there can be some efficiencies that could be had. So I think it behooves us, and it's important that we do have that discussion and fully and completely vet that out. If we find that that's not the case, then so be it. But I don't feel personally that discussion has been fully vetted, and so I hope that this affords us the opportunity to do so. Other commissioners, any thoughts or points on this at all? Questions?
I'm all in favor of having discussions with the city about this, to get their thoughts on what they're looking for and what they're looking at doing, and maybe what we also are wanting. And you know, this was done back in 2016. I wasn't in the commission at that time, and some of us have changed, and I'm sure the opinions maybe of those that were or weren't on the commission maybe have changed at that time too. So if we're going to go and have a meeting with the city, we probably need to get together to talk again to make sure we're all on the same page or understand what happened back then compared to now. If we all show up, we might have different opinions just amongst us, not being here back in 2016. So, or 2010 even.
To your point on that, Commissioner Magnuson, do you, as you look through this and some of the points have been brought out, do you have specific questions or thoughts that you'd want to bring up even yet today for discussion?
Well, I think for me, the big one is the campus idea, whether or not we need to be on one campus or if we can be separated into two different locations and two with where different staff is. Between operations and administrative staff.
You're talking specifically about the utilities, or do you mean campus between utilities and city? And
I'm talking just for us. I think it's, you know, what the city decides on their own is up to them, and what we're commissioned with looking out for what we think the best of for the commission for the utilities is. So mine would be of what we want. Whether or not we need a campus and that's what we want, or if we feel we can be separated.
John, I guess to that question, I've got another thought or question. You know, we've had this discussion before about currently we are kind of separate here, sort of on a campus as we are currently. Are there ways where we could have all of our staff and individuals in one facility and still have separated garage space, or does that not necessarily work for dispatch and things of that nature?
That's, as Kevin alluded to in the study in our update, that was part of the update. And yes, as Commissioner Magnuson alluded to, you know, we need to address that and discuss that issue. There is about a $20,000 cost based on that study to remain separated as we are operating today. Now, can we bring, you know, our staff together? It would definitely create a more efficient operation for us. As an example, the most current example that staff has been trying to address here, we have one of our customer service staff down at the service center to help facilitate the needs of that of our operations people out there. She's also needed up here on the billing side to be in contact with our other customer service people. We talked about moving her up here. We have her up here half days now. It's creating other challenges down there, which is requiring staff down there to take extra time to come up here to keep up with things. So, you know, that's just one little item there. We also have the supervisors. We have them down in that shop, but we have many meetings up here, and the coordination between admin with our customers within our staff also is part of this efficiency dollars, that $21,000 that's in here. So can we operate separately? You know, absolutely we can. But is it cost effective to operate out of two buildings? And that's why that study was done, because as we were looking to at options early on when the city asked, you know, can we have a building downtown and have city staff and the admin staff like you have now in that building? That's what prompted that study. And that study, like I said, identified that $21,000. And that's if, Kevin, correct me if I'm wrong, and that's if we retain the buildings within, what, a mile of each other?
The $21,000 was as we do business today.
Okay, so
2016, you know,
five, three.
And we looked at a couple different scenarios. One of them was, they were both at two different distances, 1.5 miles, and I think it was 3.5.
Three, yes, so 1 and 3.
The plan was if we took our admin staff and moved them into a building, at that time they were looking at Block 50 downtown. We built one facility for city staff and utility staff. Admin from each was in those, and we built a new operations facility, garage basically, out a mile and a half or 3.5, I think it was. And those costs were, the option A was like $35,000 or $40,000, and option B at the greater distance was like over, just a little over $80,000. The number is actually in here, $82,400. The further you separate operations staff from admin, the greater cost to do that business is.
How many staff do we have between are they all kind of in the service center building then, or are we scattered throughout the whole block, or where are we all at, and how many staff do we have all over the place?
Mostly between, that factored in power plant as well, it was kind of a small portion of it. But most of that staff was the admin staff in this building. Beth helped me out, 15, 18?
15, roughly 15.
Yeah, and then the staff at the power plant is a dozen?
20.
So the remainder is at the service center. A lot of the costs came from folks like Jaron and myself and Joel and Janelle, a lot of the people that are, you know, a couple times a day. How many times a day, Joel, do you go back and forth? And those are where the costs come up. You know, the metering staff, the, everybody that has to do something face-to-face or in person, so.
So, and with that said, that was a driver back, you know, 2 years ago when the city was looking at it. That was a main driver for the utility commission to elect to keep our staff, our facilities together in one location. And that's where the commission supported the campus style. If the city was willing, able, or the community, if they wanted to leave downtown with their facilities to, you know, go to the campus style concept. But back then, the city council had elected to stay downtown. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of where we then went our own way. So, and now that discussion is coming back up again. So to answer that question again, can we remain separated? You know, absolutely, but at what cost?
So I think it was originally identified in the 2010 study that it would be more efficient to have everybody in the same building. And then in 2016, we actually asked them to put a value to it. That's where those numbers came from. So.
I think for me, looking at some of the past discussions, when we're still looking at this whole blocks or several blocks of property and so forth, you know, the idea of one physically attached building versus several buildings within the area, I personally thought that I would have been okay with multiple buildings within the same property, but I do see some challenges, certainly if we're talking miles apart, where that could be a whole different ballgame.
They're not identified in this. This is a short preview. It doesn't look very short, but we added in this cost, the employee efficiency, to the cost of operating and maintaining separate buildings. And then you start talking about, you know, as we do business today, you start talking in the $60,000 to $80,000 range, just because of, you know, heating two buildings and the grounds and everything else that comes along with them, outside of just staff travel and time. So,
sure.
So, I mean, there is obviously one building is cheaper to operate than two or three or four. Mm-hmm.
Any other thoughts or questions at the commission table? You feel we're ready for a joint meeting with the city to have that discussion?
Well, I think like Councilmember Muskie alluded to is that we should have the information from the city side what their thoughts are as well before that meeting. So,
is that something that we can get pushed out?
Commissioner Manning, I will reach out to Mr. Holland and ask if he has an outline of the city's questions or concerns. And I can reach back out to yourself or Chair Lemire and see if there is a need to have an additional commission meeting prior to going into that meeting with the council. Because I would echo what Commissioner Magnuson has said, as from a commission level, we need to know the direction and the approach we want to take to this going into that meeting. Otherwise, we'll have that meeting and the outcome will still be, what do we do? Mm-hmm. So I think that's important that the committee agrees to the approach going forward and that we convey that, as Councilor Muskie had indicated.
It's a little difficult too, missing three of our members today.
So Councilman Muskie. I was going to make that same suggestion when Councilmember Magnuson was mentioning that. I have always seen, as being a liaison here, that you had a pretty good grasp of where you wanted to go. If that's not the case, please get to a place like that. because otherwise it won't be very productive. It'll be a bunch of, everybody will have their own idea. That's why I said, when you have the criteria pieces, that I really like that, because the city also made criteria, and it was very easy when you saw them side by side. You could see there might be possibilities here or here. These pieces seem relatively incompatible. But if those criteria have changed, that changes the whole discussion. So I would just love to see where those criteria were nailed down. And if they're not, please try to do that.
Okay.
That's helpful.
All right. With that said, I will reach out to Mr. Holland and see if I can receive the list of criteria for the city, and then reach out to our chair, Lemire, and if required, call a special council meeting prior to that date.
Sure.
Or a special commission meeting, I should say.
Yeah, that sounds good. One other thing I would add for the other commissioners, if you didn't get a chance to see the last council meeting, it might be worth following that online just to see. They did have some lengthy discussion on this topic overall as well, so that might help get everybody a little bit caught up as well. So.
Commissioner Mannin, the council meeting or the work session?
The work session. Yes, the majority of the discussion was work session, sorry.
And it's right on the onset. If you take the time to watch it, it's at the beginning of the work session meeting. So.
Yep. It was fairly lengthy, but it was worth going through, so we appreciate that. All right, any other final items before we move on? Okay, looking good. And then from there, we'll go to the general manager's report.
Thank you, Commissioner Mannin. General manager's report, we have a planning committee set up for next week, Friday, I believe, at 10 o'clock. Beth, does that sound right?
Correct. Yeah, April 6th.
And on that, the main topic will be our Missouri River Energy Services contract. Review those contracts are classified as confidential, so we need to review them through our planning committee prior to commission meeting. And depending on, we might have one or two other items on there on that agenda as well. So unless there's any other questions, I would conclude my general manager's report.
All right, thank you. Any other business to come before the commission today? Not. I'd look for a motion to adjourn.
Move.
Second. We are adjourned.